Cent? Man, 50 Cent is one of the most controversial artists in the hip-hop game to date. His albums have sold millions. How? It's quite simple. Game recognized game. The street game understands that this artist is rapping about the real. He's rapping about the streets, the hustlers, the life, and what's going on.
His album Get Rich or Die Tryin' was one of the fastest selling ever rap albums, selling a monster 900,000 copies in less than a week.
We in the streets, we in the struggle every day, don't nothing change.
Hoes, players, pimps, hustlers, dope dealers, gangbangers, they all can relate to the game that 50 Cent is representing. Because the game is real, it's not game.
His name has been linked romantically to pop superstar Mariah Carey, and he's the hottest musical property on the planet.
Hip-hop is from the streets.
This road to the top has not been easy. He has survived shootings, stabbings, and hostile record companies. His songs have also provoked much anger from fellow rappers who haven't appreciated his blunt view on the hip-hop scene.
50 Cent came on the scene with some straight realness, you know what I'm saying? Who is 50 Cent?
The city is rough. The big city is rough. It's really rough. You know, it's rough on anybody, any color, any, you know, age.
His real name is Curtis Jackson, and he's a native of Queens, New York.
The road to 50 Cent success, it ain't been all that. You know what I'm saying? It ain't been peaches and cream. He survived stabbings, shootings, hostile record labels, and he's still going on with beef with MCs. It shouldn't be beef. We'll go about that later. You know what I'm saying? Right now, the life of 50 Cent is a tale of magnificence, struggle, and hustling. You know what I'm saying? He's a true grinder. You want to know all about this man? I'm going to let you know.
The streets are places of danger and creativity. In Queens, the Bronx, on Chicago's South Side. Music, drugs, and poverty are mixed up to form a stew. A stew we sometimes call rap, a stew we sometimes call crime.
In these urban centers, a criminal rather than a musical career is more likely, and some of the best rappers have emerged from less than saintly backgrounds.
My place is in the streets. My place is out here. My place ain't, you know, ain't nobody never gave me shit. I never asked nobody for nothing. I'm gonna take what I want whether they like it or not.
The hood is a tough school. The odds are even greater against you if the color of your skin happens to be black.
He quickly began to understand the law of the streets, was a law all to itself. Here, youngsters descend into a spiral of drug taking, the American dream a parody to this urban underclass.
I mean, the streets are real. I mean, that's where you come from. And I mean, I know people who see that, who live in the Chicago equivalent of Bosnia. If you live in that equivalent, I'm not exactly expecting you to rap about flower lilies and kids strolling along the river.
On these streets, a war against drugs is being fought. And the victims on both sides are mainly African American. America locks up more people than any other society. And yet most of the faces they lock up are young black men.
There's nothing bigger in America than racism. There's nothing bigger in America than white folks and black folks.
In the hood, a life of crime is more likely than a career in the rap game.
All stereotypes are real.
Those are angry brothers out there who don't have education, who don't have opportunity, who don't have a mother, a father, who sell crack, hang on the corner, sit around and talk crap all day.
On these streets, respect is demanded by either knife or gunpoint. It's quite simple. You either get or you get got. 50 Cent knows about heartache. I mean, his mom's passed when, man, he was 8 years old. He was raised by his grandmother from that point.
School is for sissies. It's the message street culture sends to shorties growing up in the ghetto. Jacked up teaching and zero expectations are the norm here. And the temptation of the street scene is always around you. Easy money, easy thrills, and hard times.
Man, we're a product of this environment, of what this city, this urban area in Chicago, it ain't no collectivism.
I didn't see the world changing fast enough for me to pursue professional career as a teacher or et cetera. And I always just had a crave for music, good music. And I always had a crave of having a good time and making sure people around me were having a good time.
Crime starts young on the streets. Nobody expects much at school, but there is a living to be made selling the first class VIP ticket out of the ghetto. Drugs, even if it is a temporary escape.
Notorious Big said it best, you know, either you got a wicked jump shot or you're slinging crack rocks. Because 1 in 10,000 people are going to make it to the NBA. And that's astounding numbers, you know. And even less numbers are going to make it to the rapper or top 10 rapper or whatever.
As a juvenile, 50's rap sheet built up and he served hard time twice. At the age of 12, he entered the cocaine game, the crack game, and he began to make a lot of money on the streets. He learned at a very, very, very early age. The high from crack, man, it leads to a desperate craving low. And 50 knew how to take advantage of that. It's like the high from hip hop. You know, he wanted to give you something that you're gonna be desperate and that you're gonna crave.
We don't want to be a bad influence. We want to be a reality. And the reality is where we are. We don't know nothing else, so we can't bring nothing else.
Gangs are the way more shorties go on the street. It gives a sense of belonging. And it also sets them on the highway straight into the penal system. Gang initiations like this one can be brutal. And sometimes shorties get caught up in the war that they're fighting, protecting their drug spots. 10 years ago in New York City, murders topped 2,000 and guns were everywhere. Gun culture is what makes the deaths possible. Gun and knife deaths are the number one killer of American teenagers. The reaction of the authorities was the war against drugs. But the war that was fought was being fought against the users as well as the dealers. The high crime areas became more isolated, and a them and us mentality became the norm. There had always been a special mindset in the ghetto, but now it became wrapped up in a glamorous bling bling lifestyle.
I mean, if you come from a background of not having much, I mean, imagine if you get a little something, you want to make up for it. Pop started with two turntables and a microphone. It wasn't that it was what they wanted. It was so much that was available. I mean, classical music has classical instruments. Rock had the guitar. a lot of younger hip hop artists back in the day and even now didn't have money to access those type of instruments. So it was a matter of improvisation.
Music is an outlet. Music is a voice. It's a part of media. It's a part. It's an opportunity for people to hear you. And what better opportunity than rebel music? What better opportunity than hip hop?
New York was the birthplace of commercial hip hop. The success of Rapper's Delight by the Sugar Hill Gang way back in 1979 made the major record labels take notice of this explosive new sound.
And I don't even know, because it looks like I'm just a super ho.
Sugar Hill Gang, Fab Five Freddy.
Grandmaster Flash back in Kool Herc's back in the 70s, he started it, and from what I've heard, it's even a parody from as far back as Jamaica over the reggae music where the DJ would talk over the music.
If you just learn about rap today, I don't feel like you really understand what rap is. Sometimes rappers, we make a lot of references to other records. You might hear a hook, you might hear a line in a verse that refers to a record that came out 10 years ago.
All rap that everybody do basically is a mixture of everybody from past, present.
Yeah, hip hop has definitely gotten pretty creative. You know, anytime Jay-Z can borrow from an old series and take the music from that and make a number one hit, you know. Everything is fair game now.
It started in the neighborhoods, rapping, conversation.
While I was growing, hip hop was very important to my change in becoming a man and having fun and living life clean, you know. Just, it may be just listening to a certain CD or that took my mind away from all the negative stuff that was going on around.
Rap, from what I see when it started out, was pretty much a commentary of what's going on in the hood. I mean, there wasn't nothing catering. I mean, disco was out, soul was out, but, you know, it wasn't nothing for that particular generation. So they took those two tables and a microphone and flipped it so they could talk about what they were going through.
There was a certain amount of black nationalism in it. There was a certain amount of anger towards America.
It stemmed when I was like 12 years old, you know what I'm saying? You know, Grandmaster Flash, Sugar Hill Gang, you know. They inspired me to do it, and basically that just set the fire that was in me, you know what I'm saying? Just wanted to get out and do it.
When you're putting the minds of men on these records, which is what hip-hop allowed us to do, they can, you know, influence the world with the world hip-hop.
From the West, because it's fresh, y'all, and it's the best, y'all. Freak, y'all, to the beat, y'all. From the East, y'all, it's unique, y'all. Yes, yes, y'all, from the West, y'all. And it's the best show. Freak, freak, y'all. To the beat, y'all. From the East, y'all.
Rappers get big. And mad notoriety and talent shop together with acts like Public Enemy, Ice-T, and N.W.A.
Certain places have a history. California has a history. New York has a history. You know, but that's not the only places where artists are, especially hip-hop artists.
Young rappers now can make money just by making mixtapes and selling them on the street.
Artists are starting to realize selling out of the trunk is like a really good thing right now.
Young rappers can make their bones in the hip-hop scene by making mixtapes and selling them on the street. The street has become the market and the way out.
And I think mixed CDs are very important to the hip-hop community. People don't want to go to the Targets and the record store, et cetera, to pay $15 to $20 for a CD when you can put 20 songs on a mix CD and people hear you.
You don't have, a lot of distributors don't want to mess with you unless you're going to move 10, 15,000 units. If you're not going to move no units, nobody's going to mess with you. So you got to get out and hustle yourself. You got to get out on the, you know, corner. You got to go to clubs and pass out flyers and stuff. You know, if you got a website, you got to pub your website. Every chance you get, you know, get them tapes around.
We do a lot of that stuff, just putting it on a lot of our different parties and shows that we put together. We usually try to put out a mixtape, whether it's one of our DJs or whether it's a collective of the MCs and bands that we work with. We like to put that together.
Entrepreneurship is basically, in the rap game, is come up with your own stuff, market your own self. You know, this is what we get, the LE chains. This is our jerseys and, I mean, our shirts. You know, headband, we're doing our stuff, you know what I'm saying? But that's what you need to do.
The response is instant, and it ain't always pretty. And if you're good, you're gonna have to show it with cars, jewels, and demand yourself some respect.
The street has become the market, and the way out and to jail.
That's the only way out, is to play basketball or rap. And the fact that both of them are two big money engines, you know, you got both of them. And the fact that there's so much money involved, you know, it breeds a lifestyle, you know. And if that's what the kids are looking to aspire to be, they're looking at that lifestyle, looking at the money, they're looking at the cars, the women, you know, the social status, it's all there.
You gotta look like something. They not finna buy shit from us looking bummy. But let us pull up in four Cadillac trucks on 24. They gonna buy that shit, cause they know we not dealing with church people, we dealing with the worldly people.
Street dreams are made of balling, not of bees. You know what I'm saying? Street dreams are made out of balling. You know what I'm saying? To get out the streets, you're either gonna sell drugs, you're gonna play sports, or you're gonna make beats, or you're gonna go to college, get a school, and do your own thing. However, whatever game you choose in the street, you put out a bad mix, and you're gonna find out about it. But you put out a good mix, and the response is instant. You know what I mean? You're at a point now where you wanna show your muscle. You know what I'm saying? Jewels, cars, birds. You know what I'm saying? It's all about the floss. Like I said, if you're gonna ball, you ball to be the boss.
Suge Knight, controller of the Death Row record label, was accused of much mayhem.
H-A-T-E me, please, for my niggas getting cheese, hoes, killers, and thieves.
And was sentenced for associating with known monsters, which violated his parole.
H-A-T-E me, please, for the pimps, the wimps, the good hemp, the niggas with G.
But Suge is out, and likely to remain out.
H-A-T-E me, please, for my Windy City Remy drinkers, next round on me.
Word.
Take, for example, 50 Cent, which I can only use because he's basically in the spotlight right now, and but it's good that he's not doing that stuff anymore, but a little kid might only hear him, you know, glorifying it and go out and think it's cool to do that. But obviously he thought it was uncool enough to try something else, try a different route.
They make it look like gangster rappers, like saying, I'm gonna be a doctor, a lawyer, and a gangster. You know, I mean, you know, just be real, be true to yourself, you know what I'm saying?
Someone might see it as negative just because it's gangster or whatever, and you're talking about, you know, at the surface, you're talking about murder and violence and, you know, whatever, but I see it as negative because of the way it will be received.
Gangster rap is gangster rap. Like I said, I respect it, especially if, like I said, they lived it, you know, like the Scarfaces, you know, the Tupacs, I mean, they lived it. So, like I said, yeah, you have to express yourself based on the environment you came from.
You know, some rappers, if you can feel something in their voice that's real about it, you know, that I've been in these streets, I've seen this hustle, I've done this and that, okay, I can respect and feel that. But if you're glamorizing and glorifying it, there's no respect involved.
He said, yeah, he has a gangster rap image, but it's a situation where, you know, he also is a smart person to understand that it could be career damaging too. He lost a record deal because he got shot 9 times. He realized that, like, okay, I'll diss you, but when I diss you on a rap, it's not about rubbing you out. You know what I'm saying? Rubbing out, when 50 looks at someone getting rubbed out, he looks at this man that was a real 50 Cent in the Fort Greene Projects. You know what I'm saying? He took over his name to show street respect.
Your music, to me, should reflect what you're thinking and what you're feeling, not necessarily what's the gimmick and what's going to sell.
P. Diddy was involved in the 2001 nightclub shooting in New York City while he was dating the bootylicious Jennifer Lopez. For now, rappers have lawyers and lots of money, and he was able to walk.
I mean, you have people who talk about the revolution in rap, and then you got your P. Diddy. But I mean, that's what makes it beautiful, because it's the choice. And everyone had to listen to Stop the Violence and all that, and no one would like it.
You know, if you expected Novocaine to come out with a PG-rated album because we love the kids, it's not gonna happen.
Fifty Cent evolved to a point where music manifested his reality. And he needed to manifest that reality into paper, real green. So he became the bootleg king. You know what I'm saying? He became the remix king. He put out his own stuff. The collective, the G-Unit crew, Tony Yayo and Lloyd Banks, they combined to join forces to mix the street credible game with street worthy beats, because that was their way out. And his collective made sure that his beats were right and his music was right. And his heart and his soul and his passion, he talked about other MCs, but it was for the game to be sold.
Rapper 50 Cent gave himself a great deal of notoriety when he dissed other rappers, and in particular Ja Rule and the other rappers in his native Queens. Nobody escaped his scorn, and it was to store up a deal of bad feeling against the young rapper from the rest of the music community.
Don't disrespect me. It's like, the lion and all his pride, you know the pride is there's one male lion, and, you know, 4 or 5 females, and he makes them all, you know. No guy's gonna come and disrespect him. You know, that's how hip hop is. These are my lyrics. These are my things. You come disrespect one of them, and it's on.
50 Cent, you know, he started making a lot of waves in the hip hop community, and he hooked up with this remix crew that was under the banner of Columbia Records called the Trackmasters, and they immediately signed 50 on the dotted line. He continued to work on his debut album, Power of the Dollar. One of the songs off of that track was How to Rob an Industry Nigga. You know, 50 had a lot of soldiers looking at MCs like, okay, if you guys want to false, I'm gonna let these gangsters know that y'all should be robbed. You're in a situation where you got artists like Jay-Z, Big Pun, Ghostface Killer, want to know, who's this cat coming at us like that? You know what I mean? My man is like, yo, if I see you on the street and I don't like what you about, I'm gonna let you know. In hip-hop, you know, as far as I remember, when you battle with somebody, that's a sign of respect. If I know I'm gonna battle you, that means I got enough respect for you to know that, man, you could take my spot. A lot of MCs took it that way. 50 saw it from a street perspective. Yo, if I'm hitting you like this, that's a sign of respect. You can't be beefing.
Face off, niggas. It's that money. You get a winner. You rub you.
My nigga. That's what it's all about.
You don't want to battle me, dog. Not at all. Nigga, you small. Ain't no motherfucker in this place to get with me. I get busy, leave you dizzy like Gillespie. The best beat, act dog.
I mean, it's a gentleman sport, you know? It's a blood sport, you know? We'll get in the ring, we'll fight, we'll swing as hard as possible. But, you know, no biting, no scratching. Those are the rules of fighting, you know? And you said something about my kid, you know, what you would do to my kid. Now you overstep the boundaries, you know? What do you expect me to do? What do you expect me to say? You know, I don't want my family disrespected. Come at me. Say something about me.
I got a book, motherfucker, and it's time to teach. You need to learn something. Don't you ever fuck with script, because you'll get torn apart and also ripped. Starting off with your nose, your lips, and hips.
Rap battling, freestyling. The most exciting display of music that you could see. It's raw, and people love it.
You niggas want to see me, come and see me. If niggas think they can beat me, then beat me.
That's what really drives hip-hop, you know, is the machismo, the button of heads, you know. It's almost kind of boxing, you know. It's getting the ring, slug it out, and after, get a hug and go do whatever, you know.
And I rip any nigga on the set, any nigga on the circuit. You just rock me perfect. Damn it, perfect. Damn.
It can get a little touchy. It can get a little touchy, but that's the whole competition of it all. That's the excitement of it, you know.
He beat me. That's true, he beat me. But, you know, the next week I came and slayed him, and there have never been any beats since then.
On May 24th, 2000, 50 Cent was sitting in his car with his homie, Alton Brown.
Before he knew what was going on, a blue car pulled up beside them and opened fire on 50 Cent's car. He was hit 9 times in the legs and hands and face.
9 shots rang throughout the car. He was injured, but he was able to drive himself to the ER room. Despite so much speculation about him being shot as a backlash from a lot of artists being mad and beefing with him about the song How to Rob an Industry Nigga, he dismissed it. He said he was just a victim of the street, okay? And he kept moving. A lot of MCs at that point dissed him and dismissed him for dead and over. However, 50's life or his future wasn't over. It was just beginning. Being shot wasn't enough. 50 Cent started having a lot of beef from the record labels, you know what I'm saying, in Columbia.
They started to get cold feet about 50's connections with the street. It's not good to have your up-and-coming rap star getting shot.
Columbia Records then put his stuff on the backdrop. You know, he hooked up with Columbia by meeting the Trackmasters. Those Trackmasters characters, you know, they make hot beats. Had an album together, they put it out, it was flowing real good. All of a sudden, they started questioning his street credibility.
50 Cent decided to bootleg the album himself and set it loose on the street whilst he tried to negotiate with Columbia. There was no love lost between 50 Cent and Columbia, but he continued to work with Trackmasters, who would later help him on his new album.
50 Cent, like I said, he's from the street game since 12. He balled that, you know what I mean? He bootlegged his own music to raise the profile of who he was as an artist. It got to a point where that manifested tremendously through the streets. The streets began to talk. In hip-hop, competition can be fierce to the point of life-threatening. Some artists forget about the code of the street and the code of hip-hop. Remember, hip-hop's origin started with the battle. So you battle on wax or you battle on the parquet. You know what I'm saying? If you beatboxing, beat street, and pop locking, or if you MCing, it's all about the battle. If you point somebody out, it's time to grow.
50 Cent believes in the hip-hop code. It's okay to diss the competition on your own album. It's a mark of respect. However, not everyone sees it that way.
You got an artist such as Ja Rule who took everything personally that 50 was saying about him.
Ja didn't have much time for 50's criticism about the way he did his music.
That's that personal beef. You know, from what like some friends have told me, you know, it's real personal.
When 50 Cent and Ja Rule met in the ATL studio, 50 straight floored Ja Rule. He knocked him out. And I think that was a combination of that event with Ja, and that kind of raised and lowered the bar of a lot of things. It raised the bar of the interest level of a lot of the West Side rappers. And it lowered the bar of interest in a lot of the East Coast rappers trying to come at 50 Cent, you know what I'm saying? This culminated when, you know, Ja Rule caught a lot of feelings about it. And him and Ja Rule, they were in the studio, you know what I'm saying, with the Murders. The Murders came up on him, and it was a situation with like 8-1 battle. He got stabbed up, you know what I'm saying? To this day, they say there's no beef about it. But hey, you know what I mean? It's like, it's a cat, Ja Rule, that took it personal. And, you know, to this day, him and Ja Rule don't have beef. You know, everything is pretty cool and squash.
The audience for this mostly African-American expression is becoming more whiter, more suburban, and even more detached from the roots that created it.
So you drive by and you got these white parents sitting in the car, you know, feeling so bad about them black kids that's out there and stuff. And you got her daughter and her son who are looking out like, man, you know, I saw my TV, that looks so cool, you know, the basketball hats and jerseys and the boots and stuff, and it's just so classic, you know. That's Americana. That's Chicago, as a matter of fact. That's the most segregated place in the country.
Corporate music is shrinking. The music labels are in trouble. And one of the few routes out of that trouble, now that the pop music bubble has burst, is urban youth music.
I mean, the bigger, the more levels you take it to, the more money is going to be involved just intrinsically. Because if your name is getting bigger, then people are going to pay to see you, people are going to buy your album. But, you know, you have to watch your own bag to know that, you know, you're getting your due.
With his album on ice, 50 decided to return his music to the street. He started to put out a huge amount of tracks as street bootlegs.
The temptation of the gangster rapper lifestyle. The guns, the hoes, the fast cars and jewelry are now part of the marketing tools of the major record labels.
The music industry is forced to change for some time. You know, for we went into the bling bling era, and we still in that era, you know what I'm saying? But the fact of the matter is, when hip hop was culture, it was about the struggle. It's about, you know, it's about the cat that's in jail in solitary feeling like taking his life.
The videos for rap stars are bigger and costlier than any other form of music.
After being shot, 50 Cent's attitude to his music had changed. At first, it had become more violent, a reflection of the shooting.
My man got shot 9 times, you know what I'm saying? And still was able to take himself up by his bootstraps and roll himself to the ER room.
But after a while, his sound began to lighten up a bit, with 50 taking a more positive outlook to his music.
He was able to take that and translate that to another vision, and he took the hip-hop game by storm when he came out as a new soldier with a new added effort and a new vision. 50 Cent was still putting out his street bootlegs. And as soon as Eminem saw that, Eminem raised his profile and his interest in dealing with 50 Cent to the point where Slim Shady Records signed him.
Dre gave Eminem that opportunity. Eminem was an entrepreneur on his own, pushing CDs on his own, marketing himself. Dre heard him on a tape, a freestyle tape, decided to grab him. Eminem heard 50 Cent on a freestyle tape, decided to grab him. I mean, 50 Cent was hungry. He'd been doing it forever. You know, basically on the underground tip. And Eminem snatched him up.
Eminem signed 50 Cent to his Slim Shady record label and was keen to release something from 50 immediately. Having not yet recorded anything for Slim Shady Records, 50 Cent dug out some tracks he had recorded a year ago.
50 Cent now pulls out tracks like Wankster, got a tight click, it's on the 8 Mile soundtrack.
The Detroit was Motown, the home to soul music and beautifully packaged African-American music. But surprisingly, the first truly famous rapper out of Detroit was Marshall Mathers.
I'm not a happy rapper.
Eminem, a white boy who was more than good at rapping and who was a wet dream come true for the marketing men.
Godfather rap Eminem heard a lot of things from Dr. Dre and N.W.A. because they saw 50 in the rap battle, and they're like, "Yo, this kid is tight. You know, let's what can we do?" So you have now Eminem's side of the world, and you have 50 Cent's side of the world starting to kind of combine forces. Eminem, he had a situation where he was caught waving a 45 at somebody.
I don't care what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say. You know what I'm saying?
P. Diddy was once Puff Daddy. And before that, Sean Combs. As well as the many name changes, P. Diddy is part of a new trend built on the basis of street notoriety and music fame. P. Diddy is the latest African-American to build the beginnings of an empire. His latest venture, underwear for the well-hung man. Now, who's going to admit to not needing that? Since the war on drugs has begun, we've seen a rise in the number of African-Americans in custody. And a straight up fall in the number of other ethnic groups. $6 million Americans are behind bars, and one out of four young black Americans are under some type of court supervision or another, according to the government's own statistics.
Guns in America, man, that's the whole cowboy image. When guns are less available, the bogus, endless wave of African-American deaths will decrease.
I wish guns weren't so accessible, you know, but the fact that we have is that it's set up that, you know, we have all these freedoms and stuff, the truth being, we don't have as much freedom as we think we do.
But the bling bling associated with owning a gun in hip-hop culture is strong.
That's that gangster shit. You know, that's America. That's classic. That's Americana.
It's like one of them lifestyle addictions, like fast cars, jewelry, and fine-looking women. Gun culture is wrapped into hip-hop culture.
The whole gun-toting, the gangster rapper, the thug rapper, the thug MC, I think that image is not originally from what hip-hop is originally from, but I think it's marketable. And I think that's why artists go that route, because it's very marketable. It sells, just like sex. Sex sells, gun sells, money sells, girl, ladies sell. And I think that's why a lot of rappers adapt their style to that, to go that way.
1993 saw 40,000 Americans killed with handguns. But most of them had the wrong skin color to buy the most politicians. Of the 50 million handguns owned in America, most are owned for self-protection. But for the streetwise gangster, a gun, the right gun, is a status symbol. So does America think that two children under 17 being killed every day by mostly other children is a status symbol? And get this, most of the victims and perpetrators are African American.
Along with guns come street credibility, Kevlar, and more beef.
I know how it is for 50 Cent, because 50 Cent came here at one point to perform, which he didn't. But I mean, when you're out there, you're hungry, you got family, you got bills. I mean, from a financial standpoint, I'm happy for him. I mean, he's been out there and he's paid his dues. I mean, a lot of purists may not agree with that statement because, you know, he's not keeping it real.
It's a business for it, whether you like it or not as an artist. There's a business out there.
The odds are extremely high, and even higher to stay in the game. And I've always felt that if you're in it for the lifestyle, for the bling bling, then you don't need to get in it. That comes much later. You have to get there having the love for what you do first.
You know, somebody who's not doing it just because it's fashionable or we want some ladies, you know, we're doing it because it's from our heart and it's what we feel and it's what we done been through.
Now, everything comes full circle. 50 Cent, with collaborative efforts from Dr. Dre and Eminem, Get Rich or Die Trying, the album put together by that tight click, sold over 900,000 copies.
Get Rich or Die Tryin' was a runaway success. It sold 900,000 records in the first 4 days of its release. This broke Snoop's previous record for highest debut album by a rapper.
They have definitely set the standards. Much higher than before. And so I think now that people are gonna come out of this game full force, a lot harder, lyrically tighter, more focused, but the odds are high. Like I said, everybody's loving Eminem right now, everybody's loving 50 Cent right now. They're not looking for a duplicate. They're looking for something totally different or someone who's just as good but got their own kind of style going on.
What does the future hold for the talented 50 Cent? He is a marked man with a criminal past who wants to live down his shady dealings and gun-toting, but whether he will be able to do this is questionable. Like his mentor Eminem, he wants to make it in the film world. Film producers will be lining up to offer him tough guy parts, but few can parlay record success into movie stardom. Ask Britney Spears.
they've got the 50 Cent and they've got the Eminem. Nobody's looking for a duplicate, you know. They're looking for something fresh or someone as good, but with a different style.
Come up with an idea and get your stuff out there. That's all there is to it.
Say something different. Trick me. Do something different. I mean, if I'm paying $17, like I once heard, I want to hear something different.
If all else fails, he says he will go back to crack dealing on the streets. But every New York cop would give gold to get this rap star on their rap sheet.
You know, for everybody that's hot, it's somebody better. For every J, it's a cat that's better than J. You know, for every 50, it's a cat that's more grimy than 50. These people didn't come out of the woodworks. They was living everyday life and somebody found them.
One thing I know about hip-hop artists, one thing I know about true artists, they're gonna do it regardless.
Cent is big because he is real, and as long as he keeps it real and keeps his street credentials, he will survive if the new trend for gangsta rap lasts among the white album buying public.
I believe there are no limits to hip-hop and rap.
If he is overtaken by the bling bling lifestyle like so many of his heroes, we can say that his future will be eventful and interesting.
This current generation of rappers is about to kind of start winding down, and people in my age bracket between, say, 18 and 25 are going to take it over now.
But if the music comes first, 50 Cent is a talent to be reckoned with.